This is The Pulse. I'm Mike and Scott. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. I fly quite a bit. I tend to go to Germany once or twice a year, and I don't mind flying that much. But when there's turbulence, I get sick. That's happened to me a few times over the years. Our science reporter Irina Zhurov hates turbulence as well, but for slightly different reasons. But despite that, she bravely stepped onto a plane to explore what makes the plane go bump.
Confession, I am an anxious flyer. It hasn't stopped me from flying, but I walk down the jet bridge as if down a plank, doomed to think dark thoughts until the plane lands. On a recent flight from San Francisco to Philadelphia, I turned to my fellow passengers at the gate for fretful solidarity. This strategy initially backfired.
I like turbulence. It's kind of like fun. Kind of like a roller coaster.
I'm pretty comfortable flying.
It always passes, right?
That's Josie Cole, Court Winkle, and Jen Winkle, some of my braver fellow passengers. Then, desperate to find an empathetic ear, I approached Catherine Winterly. I knew she was my people by the timid gaze she cast toward the gate.
I'm a terribly frightened flyer. I usually take medication, and I pray a lot.
She's driven long distances to avoid flights and taken trains.
I just freak out. I mean, fortunately, I've not been in one of those planes where it's so bad that people are harmed, and I'm convinced that if I were, I'd be murdered because I would carry on so badly. Oh, I'd be screaming, we're going down, we're going to die, you know? I mean, I know that's what I would do.
In no hurry to get on the plane, Catherine and I were some of the last people to board. I found my seat and buckled up.
Keep your seatbelt fastened when the seatbelt sign is on. And just in case there's turbulence, keep it on whenever you are in your seat.
As we took off, a man several rows down reached his hand across the aisle to comfort his companion, who was clutching her armrest. I turned to my seatmate, 12-year-old Daniel Kim.
We're going to Philadelphia for a family reunion.
It was Kim's second time flying. He was three the first time. He said he's never really felt turbulence, but he wasn't looking forward to it.
I already know that I'd be pretty scared if that happened.
How come if you've never experienced it?
I have no idea, but I know I'd be scared.
It really amazed me when I started covering air travel and fielding questions from the flying public just how many people are put off and made anxious by rough air. It's far and away the number one concern of anxious flyers and even just regular flyers.
That's Patrick Smith. He's a commercial airline pilot and writes the blog AskThePilot.com. It surprised him because in the cockpit, turbulence is normal. More annoyance than concern. And pretty hands-off.
When the air gets rough, you're not fighting the forces. You're not turning left as the plane wants to go right and kind of battling with the turbulence. You're more or less just riding it out.
While I am, wrongly, I admit, thinking about the wings or tail falling off and the plane spinning out of the sky like an injured bird, Smith is apparently thinking about other stuff.
If I had a dollar for every time at the conclusion of a flight, a passenger said, boy, that was pretty bumpy. And me and the other pilot will look at each other and just not have any recollection of it being bumpy at all.
In an effort to educate myself past the fear, I phoned Roger Connor. He's an aeronautics curator at the National Air and Space Museum. He also has his pilot's license. I wanted to know what turbulence is.
A lot of turbulence comes about because of the same thing that causes all weather, which is the differential heating of the Earth's surface by the sun.
The sun heats the Earth's surface, which in turn warms the air sitting above it, causing it to rise. But things absorb and reflect heat at different rates. And so air, depending on whether it's sitting over hot pavement or a cooler, grassy field, will float up at different speeds. The streams of chaotically moving air bump up against each other and cause a plane flying through them to wobble. Features on the ground, like hills, can force air up and create turbulence too. Think of it as a river, where the current changes depending on whether the water courses over a smooth bottom or over large boulders or hits the bank. If you're in a canoe, the uneven currents can jostle you, just like uneven air shakes up a plane. This kind of turbulence is common low to the ground, and because planes flew below 10,000 feet in the early days of commercial flight in the 1930s, passengers experienced it often and fully.
people would start getting sick, and then it would just kind of move up the cabin. So that could be very unpleasant.
Unpleasant is a bit of an understatement if we believe what a pilot named Ernest Gann wrote about flying in the 1930s in his memoir. He wrote, quote, "The winds are stagnant and sullen, yet the air is annoyingly potted with a multitude of minor vertical disturbances which sicken the passengers. The airplanes smell of hot oil and simmering aluminum, disinfectant, feces, leather, and puke. The stewardess is short-tempered and reeking of vomit, come forward as often as they can for what is a breath of comparatively fresh air." Connor says the air sickness bag, now mostly a novelty, was well used back then.
After World War II, you're still flying propeller-driven aircraft for a decade or so, but you have pressurized cabins as well as turbo superchargers that allow the aircraft to get up higher.
By the mid-1950s, jet aircrafts are coming online.
Which, of course, means that we can really get into the stratosphere, which really gets you out of that lower level zone of turbulence in the troposphere. And that does a huge amount to improve the quality of flights.
Also, turbulence prediction has improved. Onboard and grounded radars, as well as constant updates from other planes, all help pilots see where turbulence might happen and how to avoid it. Though flights have become smoother, turbulence hasn't disappeared. At higher altitudes, tall mountain ranges can lift up large air masses, which interact with other airstreams, causing turbulence hundreds of miles downwind. Thunderstorms cause turbulence. And then there's clear air turbulence. It's caused by jet streams, fast-moving rivers of wind that loop around the globe, interacting with slower-moving air. It's invisible and hard to forecast. According to the National Transportation Safety Board, from 2010 to 2015, turbulence played a role in injuring 174 people and killing 42 on domestic flights. The majority of fatalities were on personal or small planes. But generally, what comforts we've lost as plane cabins went from well-appointed living rooms to sardine cans with seatbelts, we gained in the quality of the ride itself. Though I kept my mic poised for disaster, my flight to Philadelphia proceeded uneventfully, even smoothly. I checked in with Daniel Kim before we touched down to see how it went for him.
It was great, aside from the little bit of, turbulence at the end and the middle, it was okay.
The turbulence didn't scare you, though, like you thought it would?
Yeah, but once I witnessed it, I guess it wasn't too bad. I mean, it wasn't that severe. And my next flight home, it's probably going to be okay as well.
That's right. It's probably going to be okay. For The Pulse, I'm Irina Zhurov.